This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Draymond Green, not happy with the All-Star Game format. He went on to say, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, the All-Star Game was a 0. He said the format sucked.
I kind of agree with him on the format sucking, although I wouldn't blame J.D. Davidson. I'd blame LeBron James. I'd blame the current players for why it's gotten to this point. You guys play like crap.
That's Terps GOAT, just FYI.
I know it's Terps GOAT.
Yeah.
But you play like garbage and you just mail in these games that they're then forced to make some sort of a fix because of this. They weren't fixed. Not to sound like the old school guy, but they didn't have to fix it when, you know, Jordan and Bird and Magic were playing in the All-Star game. Now they feel like they have to fix it. So Draymond Green's like shaking his finger at the league, but it's like, look around. It's the guys currently in the league that ruined the All-Star game.
No, it's true. I don't think there should be G Leaguers in it, but the bigger problem
I agree with them, guys, like LeBron. But it's like, how did it get here? Right? He's like, oh, well, the ratings are down. All right, well, why are the ratings down for the All-Star game? It's because you guys just shoot half-court shots and run up and down and don't try at all. And then you have somebody like LeBron James who, like, last second's like, oh, I'm hurt. I'm not even going to do this.
Anthony Edwards, too.
I was going to say, you noticeably don't bring up Anthony Edwards. You hate LeBron.
I like Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, I'll
leave him out of this.
This agenda.
It's high. It really is. It's high noon here on Jones and Keefe. It's a Celtics
it's
Wednesday.
It's Terp time.
At high noon, which means it's Terp time. What's up, Terp?
What's up, boys?
Does Draymond have a point about the crappy format?
I mean, yes, but like you guys said, that the reason we are at this point is because of players like Draymond. He was a four-time All-Star. He has problems with this, too. Like, there was no competitiveness.
You can say it. Players like Tatum and Brown, too. You can
Tatum and Brown as well. Yeah, but they're a little bit on the younger side. Like, this is years of building up. This isn't like a three-year thing that's like, oh, look, we're having record scoring in the All-Star game. We have to fix it. Like, this has been a problem
for years. And Tatum tried 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, the problem,
51 or he did. 55.
Like, now, problem is four guys on a given year try. Like, it used to be maybe four guys didn't. Or, like, for sure they wouldn't try super hard in the first half. But you could go back to some of the old All-Star games. Final few minutes, guys are actually playing. There was also more rivalries. But unfortunately, like, that ship has sailed. Where, like, all these guys grew up playing against each other. They all love each other. You see it at every, even regular season game. Like, when it matters, they're all hugging and kissing each other.
And you would think that makes it a little bit more competitive.
Oh, yeah,
but
maybe.
But it doesn't. No. I also, for this year, like, I didn't have a problem with the actual basketball. When they were playing basketball, the problem is they didn't do a whole lot of that. That was the whole issue.
Yeah, that's an issue.
Like, they didn't, it was a 3-hour broadcast and it was a 42 minutes of actual basketball. Like,
pretty amazing.
That's crazy.
Well, they needed a 20-minute send-off for TNT. They needed, like, Mr. Beast's challenge, which is fine. Like, he's bringing a lot of eyeballs to it.
Kevin Hart
did a couple of sets.
Kevin Hart doing, like, open mic night. You're like, what?
The best part of the TNT thing, they are going to ESPN. Like, the show is still a thing.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Like, honor everyone that was part of it, and they deserve the send-off. But does it have to be in the middle of the so-called championship game of the All-Star game?
It does not need to be there.
And they're going to ESPN. Like, that's the thing. Like, the show is continuing.
Yeah, it is weird. Now, you're a perfect person to ask because you're in your early 20s. And so maybe Jones and I are just getting, like, too old for, like, these All-Star games. And there's, like, a point in time. Because, like, when I was younger, and he's certainly even younger than 20, but, like, loved all the All-Star games. Like, all the All-Star games was a chance to see all the best players playing against each other. You knew the game wasn't going to be super serious, but regardless of the sport, you were excited to see the guys. And factor in the whole weekend, like the dunk contest, the three-point contest, the skills, everything in between. Do fans your age into it, or do you guys view it kind of the same way we do now?
No, not really, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Mack McClung, as great as a dunker he is, he's a G Leaguer.
Right.
Like, you want to see superstars participate in it, and that's why I thought it was a good thing that Jalen did it last year. Mm-hmm. But this year, you just have really no one notable. There's no headline names that you want to tune in for. Again, Mack McClung is great. He puts on a great performance. But at this point, he's a professional dunker. The guy doesn't play NBA minutes. He's just a G Leaguer, and people want to see the superstars, and that's a problem. And then Giannis tweeting out that he'd consider doing it. He's asked about it the next day, and he's like, no, I was hacked. So they're making a joke out of it, too.
Stop. This also goes back to your GOAT, LeBron James, never doing the dunk contest. And then I think the next wave of players were like, well, I'm not going to do it. It's not like Jordan did it. Kobe did it. Vince Carter obviously did it.
Dominique.
But yeah, plenty of guys. Plenty of good players did it. A few kind of trickled through. Like Donovan Mitchell did it. You know, Blake Griffin was an all-NBA player, and he was doing it. But since then, it's been really few and far between. Like, I really think scrap that at this point. Like, just dump it. Dump it, unless you're going to get stars to do it, because the Mack McClung thing, like, he's good at dunking. Great. There are also guys, you can find them on YouTube, that are insane at dunking. Like, mm-hmm. the guys that were on, like, the And1 mixtape tour. Unbelievable. You can find, if you just want to watch cool dunks, you can go see it.
Right, but he's a nobody.
Well, that's the thing. It's like a long drive contest. You could probably find a few guys around the world that actually hit the ball further than Bryson DeChambeau and like Dustin Johnson. But I'd rather see those two guys have like a long drive contest, even if it's 10 yards shorter than some random guy that shows up at driving ranges. And so if you're not going to get the commitment, then scrap it. Like, don't pull a guy that's not even on an NBA team, put an NBA jersey on and be like, see, this is the team that he belongs to. It's like, you're not fooling anybody.
It doesn't help either that a lot of the conversation surrounding the issues in the game now is about load management. So these guys are already taking time off, and then they can't participate in these events. Like, I'm with you. Like, if it's going to be G Leaguers and it's not going to be the show, just dump it. Like, if the players really want to just take the time off and go on a break, I mean,
so I wouldn't dump it. You got to find a way to get the stars involved. I wouldn't get rid of it. But, like, it's
how do you do that?
So I already gave you my idea. Write it into their contracts when they come in. You got to give the players something back. Do it for rookies. You can grandfather in all the star players now, but compel them where one time when the league asks, you got to do the dunk contest. Unless you're hurt, you got to do the dunk contest. Like, that's my solution for it. I don't think it's going to happen organically. But I've heard this before, like, scrap the home run derby, scrap the dunk contest. I think there's something with those. I wouldn't get rid of them, but you have to get stars back in it. How do you fix the game itself? Does it need fixing? How do you fix the All-Star Game, Turk?
I mean, I don't see them getting away from this format at least in the next two seasons. Like, I think they're going to let this run.
They're going to do this again next year?
I think so. Oh. Adam Silver loves tournaments. I mean, think about it. In-season tournament.
He does love tournaments. So, I like tournaments, but why is the All-Star game a tournament?
I mean, that's the only way to get them to compete. I thought the competitive level was high. It was still an All-Star game. Don't get me wrong.
I'll take your word for it, because I was mostly watching SNL. I was flipping in and out. I mean, I wasn't watching with the most critical eye when I was watching in terms of the level of competition, but I'll take your word for it. You're saying it was better?
I'm not going to say they were playing like it was a playoff game, but it was better than years past. There was some level of competition. And I think even with the younger guys, with the rising stars, because the so-called OGs didn't want to get punked by the young guys, like, it makes sense. And I also like... I know you're not a fan of the Rising Stars team, but I do like it because we've talked about it before, just how bad the NBA is at marketing their young players and marketing their young teams. Like, the Thunder didn't play on Christmas. That's ridiculous. Yeah. So if this is a stage...
So that's funny. I think the NBA is pretty good at marketing their players. Are they bad at it?
I think they're good
it's
at
all
marketing.
The older guys.
I was going to say they're great at it, but it does seem like it's LeBron and
so
it's like the
okay,
main
right,
guys.
I see. So you're saying specifically they're young guys.
Right.
Got it.
Like, it takes
year,
a while to break through.
Yeah.
Everyone knew that Thunder team was going to be one of the better teams.
Right.
And they didn't play on Christmas. And then they play the Celtics. It's matched up with week 18 of the NFL season. Like, that is a bad job by the league. So if this is giving those younger players a platform to get some neck recognition and with these older stars, it makes sense. And it also got players to try. So I thought the game itself, the basketball, when it was being played, was fine. It was all the rest of the gimmicks, like the Mr. B shot, and good for the kid for the $100,000. But, like, We don't need all that.
It's true. It's like the setup. Like if you take somebody, now they've been doing this for like 20 years, so this is maybe not the best example, but if you took like a really like older person and brought them to like a live game now, they'd be like, what is all this stuff going on? Like where, like how come it's not just the game? But then like TNT, they did that on steroids. They're like, well, people don't just want to watch basketball. Like they need a famous YouTuber. They need a stand-up special. They need like a send-off. They need all this stuff in between while also working in a tournament. We had mentioned Bill Simmons' idea of making it have home court advantage on the line in the NBA Finals. Is that an idea you like at all?
I actually like that idea. Yeah. And I really like the part.
You can't, do that with this format.
No, you couldn't do it. You'd have to go back to East-West.
Yeah. Change it, yeah.
But I did like, too, that he threw in there that it was only the top five seeds, the players of the top five seeds can play, because there was two games. So there was, like, the one that you're competing for home court advantage, and then there was another one. That
yeah, so you could still have rising stars, and you could have guys that are outside the
right.
top five.
And the top five guys would actually could play for home court advantage.
It would actually kind of work this year because it would have been Tatum and Brown. It would have been
Cavs had three all-stars.
Mitchell, Mobley, and my guy Darius Garland. It'd be Towns and Brunson. It'd be Siakam and Giannis.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Like, it would have worked.
Pretty good. Like, that's not bad.
Again, I just don't see them dumping this after 1 year.
Lakers are the five. Maybe it'd compel LeBron to play in the game.
Yeah,
maybe with him. You never know.
Think he plays tonight?
Maybe not. Yeah, they have their makeup game tonight.
Would it be a bad look if he plays tonight?
Yes, it would be. It would be a bad look. I have no idea if he's going to or not, but it would definitely be a bad look if he played. You set out the All-Star game.
Right.
It'd be a bad look if he played.
Yeah, but the All-Star game is Sunday. Today's Wednesday. Like, if he plays now and you're like, oh, I'm prioritizing season.
You can explain it away. Yeah. I just think it's a bad. It's like, are you hurt or
how
not?
Hurt are you?
Yeah. Funniest thing, too, is he had his own press conference and just so nonchalantly throughout that he wasn't going to play in the game.
Dude, what a loser. And then he's wearing, like, street clothes. He's wearing street clothes. He's taking a photo with all the All-Stars in, like, just regular clothes.
I'm with Terp. Watch your mouth. That's
Put the uniform on.
That's our goat.
Respect the goat.
Not my goat.
Watch your mouth.
Never
going to
be my goat.
Our goat.
No, that's your goat.
Yeah.
Also, the All-Star weekend was also getting a lot more criticism just because it was on at the same time as the Four Nations, which are they're two separate things. Like they're hard to compare. But I got a lot of people wondering about if the NBA could do anything like that, which the answer is no. Like you don't have four countries where it's going to be super competitive like that. Would the league be in on a U.S. versus world, and would that change the level of play at all?
I think that's probably the only way they could do something like that, is doing it that way. And I mean, I don't know if there's any fixing the level of competition. Like
you may not be able to. You can't get them to play hard in regular season games. Okay, so how are you going to get them to play hard in this?
You can't have that without players caring and actually trying, and clearly they don't care.
Right, like, here's the problem. Maybe the USA players would care because they're pulling out a Team USA jersey. Do you think a guy from
World Jersey
Serbia pulling on the World Jersey
United
gives two
Nations?
Craps about it? Like they don't. So the
it's also versus U.S. It'd be like we're like, hey, we're better than
right. But for what? Like there's no at least in the
Give
Four Nations is like the fake pride.
Yeah.
Like what? There's not even pride in the rest of the world outside of the U.S.
The Olympics isn't bad. Now it's still heavy favorite U.S. But like France is like a lot better.
The
and
difference
like Canada.
Is we care about it here in the U.S. because we're not the best country playing the sport hockey.
Oh yeah,
that's why we care so much about the internet. It's like we're punching up to Canada and maybe even some other nations given the year. But yeah, we're always the favorites in basketball. It's just you're punching down.
So there's nothing we can do.
I don't think there's much you can do from an international standpoint in basketball. I don't think. Not yet. Maybe in 20 years. Not now.
One thing they can do is stop changing it. Like, just pick a format and stay. Like, you've changed it like four times
rules?
In the last 10 years. Like, relax. Stop changing the game. Keep it out.
Well, I just figured out the Elam rule, the Elam ending.
That lasted 2 years.
Yeah, okay, so as a counterpoint, though, hockey kept changing their format over and over and over again, and maybe now they've stumbled onto something good. So there is something to be said for thinking outside the box and continuing to change it until you find something, but I would just go back to East-West, personally. Let's go to some phone calls here. 617-779-7937. Trav is in Lowell on the All-Star game. Go ahead, Trav.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm just wondering, like, what was wrong with the original formats? Like, the East versus West and the home run derby with the 10 outs. You know what I mean? Like, you get as many home runs as you can, and any ball that's swung at that's not a home run is an out.
So I'll answer that. The problem with the old format is that it turned into an alley-oop contest, and there were guys scoring 60 points in the game and 200 points, and there was no defense. The problem with the home run derby, not to go off on this tangent, but it took too long, so they tried to expedite the thing. I actually want them to go back to the old format, too. for that. But that's
baseball
a side
should.
Topic.
But yeah, they ran into an issue where they thought it was going too long.
Yeah,
so they stopped. Last year's NBA All Star Game, the final score, it was East versus West. Yep. So 2024 All Star Game was 211-186.
So if I'm not mistaken, that was a record
problem.
High.
That was. But that was sort of like a breaking point. Is like. It was, you're right, it was all just alley-oop dunks or guys taking half-court shots. That's all it was. It was like, I'm a diehard basketball fan, but if I am having a hard time watching it, you certainly aren't going to convince casuals to watch that game.
And they still did that on Saturday.
Yeah, a little bit
or Sunday,
yeah.
Rather, with yeah. Curry did it. Like, he took three half-court shots, I think it was, and he made one of them. Mm. But, like, that's going to happen in the All-Star game. But for the most part, there was a lot more competition than what we saw last year. And, I mean, obviously not a... not a high mark to hit there.
No. You think Boston will get an All-Star game?
Well, I'd be curious how the ownership sale, you know, affects this, because you have to bid on it and there's a lot of moving parts with it. And I believe Rich Gotham, the president, was the one running it. But when the new owner comes in, what if they're not on board with it? So I wonder how that.
Why would you not
things.
Be? If you're buying the franchise, I would think the league would do like a make good to a new ownership group spending $5.5-6 billion as a make good. We'll throw you an All-Star. Like, I think that would actually help.
I mean, Adam Silver,
the current ownership group can't get one. They've failed. So maybe a new ownership group would be able to.
I mean, it has been too long. What was 1964 was the last one, and that's a long time.
That's wild.
Yeah, and like they have. So it's a matter of if they have everything that they need to have too. They need like a convention center for a week long thing. They need a bunch of hotel rooms, which I'm sure they can do. I mean, it's just a
we don't have that here. We have a convention center. No, we have hotel rooms.
Now you just have
We've
to get
been
the
on
city
the Olympics
to sign
for God's
off.
Sake. Yeah, they can have the.
But I mean, I'd love to see it come back. Jaylen Brown was lobbying for that over the weekend too.
Yeah, Jaylen took some shots at Warriors fans. You see that?
Yeah.
He's like,
it wouldn't be empty here.
Wouldn't be empty here. Yeah. They
Did you
show
see
up
some
there.
Of the pictures, though?
Oh, yeah. Like, the videos of how empty it was?
Empty, yeah.
Yeah, no one wants to show up for Team Shaq. I'm sorry, but, like, no one understood the format. No one wants to show up for that. So I'd go to bat for the NBA all day, but that thing was a spectacular
failure. So
apparently, failure.
For 2028, it's down to Atlanta, Boston, Milwaukee, Orlando.
Oh, so they're in the bid.
Or at least, it says reportedly
the
in consideration. So yeah. I guess you could take that for what it's worth, but, I mean, I don't know. I also think it's tough because it's February, and I know they've done plenty of cold weather cities, but for guys to go on a break, wouldn't they be a little bit more enticed to go to Orlando?
Yeah, for sure. I don't get this. Dubs in the Twitch chat. It would be a disaster. Boston doesn't want an All-Star game.
Why?
What would be a
They got the many, Four Nations here,
many,
for God's sake.
Thank you. How many people do you have more Canadians coming in for the Four Nations
yeah.
than you would basketball
All the Swedes?
Fans? But like, yeah, like how?
All the Finns?
What do you think would happen for an All-Star game weekend? It would not be that. It's not an Olympics. It
no.
wouldn't be that much of a mess. It's not that many people coming
no.
to your city.
They've hosted like NCAA tournaments and stuff like that.
They hosted the U.S. Open a couple of times, Brookline, but like you hosted that. Like yeah. it'd be the same level of thing. It
Lionel
wouldn't be
Messi played at Foxborough.
Saying Boston couldn't handle an Olympics is fine. Like that makes a lot of sense. That would be too much of a crush. I get it. I'd still want it, but I get it. Couldn't handle an all. You don't think we could handle an All-Star game here?
Absolutely.
What are you
could.
Nuts?
I feel like we could.
And they just revamped the Garden. Like that should play into it as well. Like they absolutely could handle
it's
one.
It's two nights, or yeah, three nights,
three.
I guess.
Yeah, maybe yeah. two. If, that's if, three.
Yeah,
too
yeah,
many.
Also, we don't need the celebrity game to have its own night. You can shave that down to two nights.
Andrew's in Wareham. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
So yeah, I think the All-Star games they need. You need some kind of, like, pride, like conference pride. I think it's important to play for something to make them competitive. So I think NHL, NBA, MLB, I think that all these games should be, like, East versus West to drum up the pride and then make it for home field in the playoffs. Then all the players are actually going to put a little effort into it.
Okay, so, like, regular season games, that matters? Those are the stakes? He hung up. I actually didn't let him go.
So, I don't know. The problem is... like,
no one cares that you're in the Eastern... That's never going to be a thing.
Guys change teams
proud.
Like...
proud.
They change teams like they, you know, change undies. So, I don't think there's, like, a lot of Eastern Conference pride when they're bouncing around. They could get traded the week before. Like
they also just tried that for 20 years or something.
They did try East-West for a while. And when there was less player movement, there might have been something there.
Here's but what you got to do.
It's not, it doesn't really exist.
I've solved it. And in fairness, somebody pointed this out to me on Monday. Mego and I were talking a lot about All-Star game formats. We actually had a caller, Bruce, last week, solved yeah. the All-Star game problem that we have for all sports. So yeah. it's actually already been solved. Bruce solved it. Battle of the Network Stars, four yes. athletes from every city, city versus city.
City pride.
Battle. It's already been solved.
Done.
But like maybe you go back to like the NHL, maybe the NBA did this way back in the day too, like the provincial draft. where you can only
draft.
You can only draft players local.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden now it's like you really have some hometown pride for where you're from.
L.A., New York would probably do well.
Yeah, I would think those would be good.
They'd do well.
You know, now I don't want to get into like a hip-hop east-west sort of battle.
Could turn into that, though.
I would shudder to think.
Burn too hot.
I wouldn't want to go there. But you could maybe entice them that way. How about the Celtics for the start of the second half?
Yeah, they're going to come home, and they have a chance now when they come back to really figure out their home woes. They're going to play 8 of their first 11 out of the All-Star break at home, and that's something that I'm really looking forward to, see if they can do that, because that's probably been their biggest knock throughout the year is how inconsistent they've been at home. So now you've got 8 of your 11. You get a chance to really right the ship there, and I also really do think they're going to turn it up here. They head into the All-Star break winners of 7 of their last 8. They made it a point to hit the break playing some of their best basketball to really ramp it up as they get closer to the end of the season. So I'm expecting them to hit the ground running out of the All-Star break.
Okay. We'll be talking about it with Terp all year long. Celtics Wednesdays at high noon here on Jones and Keefe. Check out his work, WEEI, also on Twitter at Justin M. Turpin. Terp, we appreciate it, as always. Billy Lanny with all the latest here in trending. When we come back, we'll get to Tristan Casas, just another player that Alex Cora has to deal with in solving their roster issues for the Red Sox.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
So that's next.
Tristan Cassis, we read those comments to you yesterday. We played them a couple of times here today on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Which, by the way, this is about the time every day, Keefe, we get a Red Sox update. So stay tuned.
I'm efforting.
This is about when we got Devers on Monday. This is about when we got Cassis yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So we're officially in the danger zone from the Red Sox standpoint. Any Yikes. Updates, we'll be sure to pass them along. But I'm amused now re-listening to that again. Cassis is like, yeah, Devers should be at third. When he gets asked, there's a question in the middle there, and they go, so Bregman should be at second. He's like,
huh?
Yeah. He's like,
shoot. I don't want to push somebody out of second. I don't want Bregman, so yes.
I wonder how much he even thought about the follow-up question. He's just like, yeah, Devers is a third baseman. And then they're like,
Bregman?
So Bregman should be at second. He's like, crap.
Bregman.
Yeah,
I also like how he's
guess he's got to play there.
Yeah, I guess. He's like, do I got to apologize to Vaughn Grissom? Like, who am I insulting by putting him at second base? He's also saying, like, Devers is going to, like, fight for that position over any of the young guys and maybe any new guy. Like, very, like, not like new guys.
No.
Like, any new guy. Named Alex Bregman. So, yeah, he's got a lot to say, Tristan Cassis.
He sure does.
Are you warming up to my theory at all, though, that he is just kind of poking the hornet's nest because he knows what a big story the Devers thing was? He also can't love the fact that he's been in every trade rumor all offseason, and people are already excited about Vlad Guerrero Jr. joining the Red Sox in 2026. That, and at his expense, right? They're like, all right, we'll see you later. We're ready for Guerrero over Cassis. So he's probably like, all right, I'm going to take this situation, which is already kind of blowing up a little bit across baseball, and I'm just going to add gasoline to that fire.
So, but do you think he's doing it in like a trolling, like joking around mood, or do you think he's doing it because he's annoyed that they haven't approached him about a contract extension? They lowballed him last year. They're being tied to Vladimir Guerrero. He may ultimately be getting traded off the team anyway. He was linked to Seattle, among other teams, all offseason about a potential trade for a starting pitcher. Do you think he's just lashing out, or do you think he's just joking around and playing a character?
No, I think it's kind of both. Like, I don't know if he believes everything that he's saying. He is backing Devers, which I think is like, that's like the one silver lining here where it's like, that individual part is like a good teammate kind of thing.
Yep.
But then he does it way too much. And I think he's bothered by the franchise, and he's like, all right, I'm going to make it even worse for him. I'm going to make it even more of a headache for them.
Let me give you something that I guess backs what Cassis said yesterday. Drills today at spring training. Let's see. Let me start at first base. Cassis was at first. That's good.
Okay.
Bregman and Grissom were at second, splitting time. Trevor Story at short. Your third baseman, Marcelo Meyer.
What?
I just see Devers is going to take infield workouts until like early next week.
Great.
Awesome. This is my position.
Terrific.
Can you go? Well, not right now.
Well, no, I mean, put Marcelo Meyer
up
there.
I'm always banged up.
But so like,
Marcelo Meyer was a shortstop.
Okay, so Devers can't go. Fine, he's behind, whatever. He needs to work his way into shape, I'm sure. Fine. If he's not out there, Bregman still has to be at second. That doesn't bode well for my stance that Bregman is going to be your opening day third baseman based on just how Cora's been talking about it. That doesn't bode well for it.
I think he's going to be the opening day second baseman, and I think it has even more to do with they don't really have a true second baseman right now on top of what do you do with Yoshida? Because these are all issues that we're like, figure it out. Well, for them, they're like, all right, we're going to figure it out by just letting Devers play third for now. I wouldn't bet on him playing third base all season. I think you start him there.
I'm talking about opening day.
Opening day, I think he starts at third base.
Who plays the most games at third this year?
Bregman.
So I agree with that.
I'm hopeful. I think it might even be, you know, whatever it is, like manipulating service time and everything else. Like, is Christian Campbell going to be up for May? Like Cinco de Mayo, is Christian Campbell playing second base or is he still at Worcester?
It's the hope.
Because if he's up, then he's at second and Bregman's at third.
If Christian Campbell hits in the spring, like he's hit his entire minor league career, then I think that could force their hand. I think they're
going to... Cassis says no.
I think they're...
He says no, I don't want
no, he doesn't want the kids up here.
No.
I'm playing Bregman at third either way. I think they're going to play Bregman at third either way, and that's just reading Cora. But maybe I have that wrong. Meanwhile, Cassis wasn't done.
This is on the 310 to Left podcast. Okay. Tom Caron, Lou Maloney. And while there was a deeper scouting report, you're going to hear some redundancy at the beginning after Tom finishes asking his question. But he gets into a real deep scouting report on Devers, not just in the field, but also at the plate.
We mentioned Bregman. He's going to make this team better defensively wherever he is. And we don't know where that'll be. Could be second, could be third. We heard Rafael Devers yesterday say, I want to be at third base. That's my position. What was your reaction when you heard that?
I completely agreed with him. I think that he's the third baseman of this franchise for the time, you know, a long time to come. And he's, I don't know if there's a third baseman in the league that I would take over him. And his defense is constantly getting better every single year. That was the knock when I came up, that he was bad defensively. And then I see him come and make some barehanded plays, pick it in the back, diving all over, rolling bodies, throwing from his butt. I mean, he's just all over the place. And, yeah, he'll boot a routine play. And I think that's why he gets docked so heavily. But he plays hard, and he really sets the tone out there at third base. And I want him on my at that position this year and for the next 10 as well. We'll see how the legs hold up, if the bats, you know, elite enough to. But, man, I think for this year, I think it makes the most sense.
Wait, what? The legs hold up? I thought he had, like, shoulder issues. Now he's got leg issues?
We'll see if his legs hold up and if the bat's elite. And we'll play at that position. He's like, what? I don't know about long term, but for this year, I'll put him out there at third base. Yeah, he might boot
routine
grounders.
How the legs hold up if the bat's, you know, elite enough to.
I mean, just like a little slow roller to third, he might boot it. He'll boot that, but like you guys have seen the bare hand. Like, how many barehanded Devers plays have we seen?
I don't remember. I'm sure there are some.
Sure,
I don't remember any. Yeah.
He has led at least the American League, and many times all of majors, in errors at third base every season in his career. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a real stat.
And with that, the bat is so elite that he gets top 10 MVP votes, even though he's the worst defender in baseball.
He's actually never gotten top 10 MVP.
No, he's 11, 12,
highest was
11.
Yes,
he's gotten MVP votes, and he can't
finish. I know, but he's never been top 10.
11, 14, yep. 18, 13.
Never top 10.
Two silver sluggers.
Yep.
Three all-star appearances, never top 10.
And he's very good. Like, I feel like we've been just dumping on him because of his comments and how bad he is in the field. Like, he is really good. Like, you do want him on your team. Jose Ramirez is better. Manny Machado's better. That's fine. Like, there are third basemen better than him. But throw him at DH. Let him just hit and see how good he can possibly be. He won't have those nagging shoulder injuries during the year, which he usually, you know, messes up because if he's in the field. Also, I always think his error numbers, which are always as high as it can get, would be higher if he had more range. Like, these are just the balls that he can get to.
And if
they
still gave out errors.
Mm-hmm. And, right, some of this, that's a good point.
They actually should be higher.
They did. If you really pay attention to it, I think there was like a memo sent around the league, like, hey, we want more hits. So rule anything borderline a hit. But think about when like a great player makes like a unbelievable diving stop and then gets up and makes like a bad throw. It's like an error, but it's also a ball he probably shouldn't have even gotten to.
So real quick on his errors, because I've heard this reported a couple of different ways. Rafael Devers has 7 full seasons in Major League Baseball. Okay,
yeah.
Some people say he has eight seasons. He only played 56 games in 2017. He made 14 errors that year in 56 games. Was well on his way to leading.
Casas is right. Maybe he did get better.
Yeah, good point. He was well on his way to leading probably the majors in third base errors that season, but he only played 56 games. So whatever that is, you know, not even half the year. In his 7 full seasons in the bigs, 24 led the American League, 22 led the American League, 14 led the American League, 22 led the AL, 14 led the AL, 19 led it, 12 led it. And some of those led Major League Baseball.
No, I know.
7 for 7 full seasons.
He's not great in the field.
Where
can we at least say this?
He led the league in errors.
He's not getting better.
Some people are saying he didn't do it every year. Every full year in the major leagues, he has led the American League in errors. Red Sox. Actually, I'm sorry. This is a Nesson video. I quote tweeted it. Nesson put out a video of Rafi Devers doing some defensive work. He's on his knees, not moving around. He's just, he's taking some, not even grounders. It's like a.
Yeah.
No, he was picking the ball.
Yeah, is that what he was doing?
First base?
Yeah, he's just like sitting there on his knees.
Awesome.
But okay, looks like he's ready to play third base. By the way, not out there doing drills. Going back to Casas for a moment and his big fat mouth.
Yeah.
Is he long for Boston? Like, is he a long-term fit in Boston, the way he carries himself, some of the stuff he invites on himself, the comments he makes? Never mind, he's like a tradable asset that you could move, and you're linked to Vladdy long term. Is he a long-term fit for Boston?
So if he's smashing the ball, and even if he's saying all this stuff, but he improves defensively and he's smashing the ball, I think the answer could be yes. But ultimately, I'm going to say no. Like, I think he's probably more of a headache than what he actually provides on the field, at least for you right now. And maybe I'm crazy, but I'm getting kind of caught up in this Vladimir Guerrero Jr. thing. And if you end up getting Vladimir Guerrero, whether it be this year or next year, then you got to move on from Casas anyway. So I'm sure Cora would be the first one to drive him to the airport and get rid of this guy, because he's is more of a issue than he should be. Plus, I wonder how healthy he's going to be. Now, that was just one rib injury from a year ago, but it cost him almost the entire season.
Yeah.
Is he going to be one of these guys that's durable, or is he going to just miss a ton of games? If that's also the knock on him, then yeah, you probably should move on.
So I'm normally a talent guy over everything, and Casas has clear talent when it comes to offensively. And I think he's a better defensive player than Devers. Like, in other words, Casas
is, but is he even average?
No, maybe average is probably not the word I would use for him. But, like, Casas is better fielding his position, first base, than Devers is at his old position, third base. But Casas clearly has power in his bat, talent, and normally I'm a talent guy. But it's hard, even if he's doing it as a bit, it's hard to get past his commentary and his constant need to just weigh in on everything. I know he's asked. That doesn't mean he needs to go on and on about how Devers is going to age and whether or not his legs will hold up and if his battle play as an elite enough bat at that spot. No, by the way, he'll boot a routine. Like, you know, you can answer a question without saying everything and truly speaking your mind. And so I don't know if he's a fit in that way. And on top of it, he is a tradable asset. You're linked to Vladdy Guerrero. You still need long-term pitching help. Like, Crochet's here for 2 more years. Maybe you sign him to a long-term deal. Maybe not. Walker Buehler's here for a year. How are you going to get starting pitching? Casas may be a way to do that. So I don't think he's a lock to make the opening day roster. Like, there's a chance they could still work out a trade. They've been linked to Dylan Cease. They've been linked to Seattle all offseason. There's still a chance they could make a trade before opening day. And I would echo something Chris Curtis said today. I don't think there's a chance he's on the roster next year. Meaning, 2026, he's not a Boston.
Because he's under team control for a very long time. Baseball contracts, I always bring this up, are just so wacky. Like, by the time you make it in the league and then with arbitration, he can't be a flat-out free agent, I don't think, until 2029. So if you want him, now you might have to go to arbertration. You might haggle over $500,000 like you did with Jaren Duran.
That's also
like,
what
if you
makes
want him,
him,
you got him.
An attractive trade.
100%. Though. That's why, you know, a caller or a texter brought up earlier, you know, if you shopped him to Toronto right now for Vlad Guerrero, who says no? And on the one hand, you're like, well, Vlad Guerrero's a much, much better player. Yeah, but they have him for 1 year. That team stinks right now, the Blue Jays. They didn't sign anybody. They're losing guys. Although, actually, they got Santander, right? But
they
whatever.
Did.
They missed out on a lot of guys.
No premium guys.
No premium guys. They might finish last in the division. And if they feel like they really can't re-sign Guerrero, 1 year of Guerrero or maybe 6 years of Casas, I think Toronto might make that deal.
Just looking right now to see if any Red Sox have said anything. I think we're getting close to press conference time down there. Like, somebody speaks every day. Cora's speaking as we speak.
Okay.
So we'll see if anything comes out of that. I would expect there to be something juicy down there.
Sure.
You can weigh in on the Red Sox, 617-779-7937. A bunch of you still holding on the All-Star Game format in the NBA. We can get to you. Plus, we have an emergency madness. Kiefer Madness on the way next.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Kiefer, I think it is. Rich Kiefer.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Kiefer?
Where is he?
Where's Kiefer?
Where is Kiefer?
Hey, Kiefer, you're a dude.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Kiefer's a nice guy.
Kiefer's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
I would have done the same if I had found a kilo of crack cocaine.
Scotty Barnes is going to be all-star.
However, the uninvited guest in their house was more foul.
A man was captured on video using a sword to roast meat in a shopping cart.
All right, we have an emergency Kiefer Madness here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And Jones, believe it or not, my home state of New Hampshire, the Granite State, is in the news, and not for the best reasons.
Okay.
Something was spotted at a grocery store. I don't know if they say it in the story or not.
In New Hampshire?
Yep, in the Queen City. Manchester,
which one's
New Hampshire.
That? Oh, Manchester, New Hampshire.
The Queen City,
I'm sorry.
Jones. Manchester, New Hampshire.
All right, so something
was Vegas to the locals.
Spotted in the grocery store?
Yes, and so this news story begins. It's actually, the news story is not from New Hampshire, but they picked it up. That's how big of a story it is. They picked it up outside of the Granite State.
Wow.
So there's right now what they're doing is the story is going to begin with them showing people a photo of what was found in the grocery store.
Oh.
So let's first get a couple
of
clues.
Let's hear that first. Okay.
You said in a bag of bananas?
In a box.
Box?
Their reactions may be different.
No.
Oh, wow. That's definitely beautiful. Yes.
Beautiful.
Definitely beautiful. The one guy said, no. The other guy said, oh, that's beautiful.
I was going to guess some sort of rodent.
A rodent?
Is what I was going to guess.
In the grocery store. With
bananas.
With bananas.
So maybe like a tropical rodent, but then the lady said it's... Yeah.
All right, I'm going to have to stop you there for a second.
Capybara. They live in...
Oh, capybara.
Yeah, that's a rodent. That's a big rodent.
Yeah,
but
guess
it lives in...
Capybara.
It lives in a tropical climate.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Chupacabra? Is that also...
Sure. Yeah, it could be a chupacabra.
So you're going capybara?
Well, the lady saying it's beautiful threw me off. No, I said a tropical rodent. Well, I'm just giving you an example of a tropical
rodent.
Type of thing. Maybe a bat.
This could have happened to me. I was just at the grocery store the other day, and I grabbed some bananas. Now, thankfully, there was nothing kind of in there. So you think maybe a bat? Maybe like an upside-down bat?
It's another rodent?
Beautiful. That's a big no-no.
But shoppers in Manchester are all wondering how a venomous snake from South America...
Wow.
Venomous snake?
So I'm going to tell you right now.
A South American snake.
Is this a teeny tiny snake? Oh, if you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, you can see said venomous snake. Keith, you
in
don't
the bananas.
You
I
don't want to
honestly,
look? It's
look
right there.
I,
you
know,
can
I
look.
I understand where the screen is.
But
Jones.
So when it comes to, I think the people
snakes
were.
Snakes in the bananas?
Those people were massively downplaying a venomous snake. They're like, oh, not for me. It's beautiful.
Well, that's a weirdo.
They need to sound more terrified than that. It's a venomous. It could kill you.
They need to put that person on a list.
Yeah.
If they're like, oh, that's all we need to do? Yeah, no thanks. No, thank you. All right, let's find out what else is going on.
It snakes out there this big.
No.
Twitch chat was guessing, like, tarantula. That would have been a good guess.
Oh, yeah, scary spider in there mixed in with the bananas. But no, just snake behind the bananas.
How a venomous snake from South America.
Wow. Doesn't look like a friendly feller, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
Ended up in a box of bananas.
When? Where? Here? This market basket?
He's like, wait a minute. Here?
I'm going to go the hell in there.
This one?
Burn it down.
He's like,
burn it to ash.
I'm going to find the next closest market basket.
Shipped to the Manchester market basket.
I mean, I'd still eat the bananas.
New Hampshire fish...
They do have like a peel around them. Bananas are protected.
Well, it's not like the snake rubbed its gross body all over the part inside the peel.
I don't think snakes eat bananas, do they?
No.
I've never seen a snake eat a banana.
No, I imagine they're hanging out waiting for the tasty rodents.
Yeah.
The tasty tropical rodents I was suggesting before.
The capybaras that might actually eat a banana.
Yeah.
That's true.
They're waiting for the animals to come eat the bananas.
They all just hide here.
It's like a lion goes and hangs out at the watering hole because that's where the animals come to drink.
Same
idea.
Hyenas.
Yes.
Things like that.
Precisely.
Shipped to the Manchester market basket.
I mean, I'd still eat the bananas.
New Hampshire Fish and Game says it was a store employee who found this ornate cat-eye snake all coiled up in the produce.
And luckily for us, he seemed to be pretty familiar with snakes.
Conservation.
Wait a minute. So now you got a guy.
This is
your inside job theory.
Not to go here every time with Kiefer Madness, but it sounds like an inside job.
They're all inside jobs every single time. They're like, thankfully, the guy who found the snake, like, knew the snake, knew how to handle the snake, and had no problem with the snakes. Like, yeah, maybe it was his snake.
Yeah.
Maybe he brought it to work.
And sometimes
his boss was running around the corner, he dumped it in the bananas.
Sometimes the inside job theory really pays off.
I agree with you.
Okay.
You're a fan of the movie Inside Man with Denzel Washington.
Never seen it.
That was pretty good.
Pretty familiar with snakes.
Conservation officer McEwen then made the call to rainforest reptile shows to safely take it off his hands.
We're lucky enough to have them come up here and do training with our department.
Wait a minute. You have the rainforest department do training with your grocery store employees?
Yeah, when you're handling bananas.
Hey, dudes, just in case snake ends up in the bananas, what do you do? What are the things that you
hypothetically,
want to do? If it ever happened to you.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I don't know if that's a necessary training. If you're working produce or...
Well, turns out maybe it is.
Yeah, today it was.
Sounds like it is.
Get something like this probably 3 or 4 times a year.
Matt...
What?
What?
So there you go.
Okay, you're right.
I guess it is worth it.
In my face.
Do you think it, when she says three or four, does she elaborate? Does she mean snakes or does she just mean like an insect, a
critters.
Spider? Or so, yeah, like any, like
if
anything.
It's like an insect, don't you just stomp on it, move on, and go to the next thing? If it's a snake, you can't just do that.
It's a quick, wiggly insect. Maybe it's not easy to smash.
Yeah.
We get something like this probably three or four times a year.
Mac Rabofsky is the vice president there.
A lot of the invasive species that we actually see come from situations like this where an animal might be shipped in produce.
He says...
Yeah, I didn't realize it's so hazardous working in a grocery store.
I think my days of grocery shopping are done. I think I might have just retired from. I don't know how my wife's going to take that news.
She's like, you didn't bring home any fruit?
Nope. No, I did not.
Not for me.
Just more cereal. Just safe. Hopefully safe with the cereal.
So you got four boxes of cereal.
Yeah.
Nothing in the produce today.
See that? Apple Jacks. There's apples in it. We're fine. We're good. Kids are good now.
Says while this nocturnal cat eye is venomous, its venom isn't all that impactful to humans.
Oh.
They're actually really, really adapted to eating things like lizards and amphibians. Those
lizards and amphibians.
Hmm.
So not capybaras.
Not capybaras.
No,
that's
right.
True.
That's fine.
In my
types
case.
Of animals, most of the time have their venoms that target those species.
And now it's in his organization's care.
We want all these animals to thrive, which is why we take them in.
So Fish and Game says this snake was about 2 feet long. According to my calculations here, that could be anywhere between 3 to 4 bananas. And
nice.
Do we have anybody that's an expert on inches and feet?
We should start measuring things in bananas.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but how many bananas is that?
Yeah, he said 2 feet, but how many
banana are we talking?
Most of the shoppers we spoke with aren't blaming the store for this, but they are hoping this is something that doesn't happen again.
Well, I don't know what the heck it's doing there, but hey, it makes for a good story.
Yes, it does.
Not the Wienerama guy.
I want to say it is.
Cheeseburger Club guy?
It is. It could be. It could be our guy.
It sounds
he
like
He just
him.
Follows the news station around, and he's the witness everywhere he goes.
Cheeseburger Club.
Yeah. Could be.
Well, sir, why were you in the market basket today?
Cheeseburger Club.
They don't sell them at the Wienerama anymore. He's very
No,
upset.
They don't.
Yeah.
Well, so that honestly terrifying, though, the idea of seeing a snake just mixed in with the bananas like that.
Well, it's a venomous snake, but it turns out the venom doesn't really hurt humans. Does that change your perspective at all?
No,
what
I don't care.
What are you afraid of with the snakes?
Three all the way.
All of it. The lack of legs, right?
Hot wieners anywhere.
Yeah, no legs. Legless.
Right.
Them having no legs, little kind of beady eyes,
but
fangs.
It's not just that they can bite you and or kill
you.
It's
wrap
something.
Around you.
Right.
They could coil around you. They could fall down your sock. Like, they're just, it's not good, Jones. I don't like anything about it. Because I don't mind
It's a cute
like an iguana
little,
or a lizard.
It's a cute little snake. I'm looking at the cat-eyed snake. It's a
cat-eyed snake.
A Leptodira.
Best gag is you're going to get around here.
A cat-eyed snake, as it's colloquially known. That's a cute little snake. It's a cute little. You should look at it, Keith. It's on the screen.
I'm not going to look at it.
Pythons, rattlesnakes, cobras, black mambas.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
The amount of you-know-who jokes on the text line right now over the banana.
Let's
links.
Leave it alone.
Just
let's leave it alone.
Through the roof.
We don't need to see the snake.
That's how I feel. Don't need to. Just here for some fresh bananas, thanks.
Even if I warm it up a little bit.
Yeah. Seven is
dominated
nuts.
The world.
Several patients have brought live and dead snakes into the emergency department this year alone.
Okay.
Nice.
So that's in Manch, Vegas. Queen City?
The Queen City. That's right.
Up
beautiful
in New
Manchester, New Hampshire.
Careful.
Keep your head on a swivel up there, though.
Careful in those produce streets. I had no idea.
That's scary. By the way, Kiefer Madden is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss with a 98% customer satisfaction rating and thousands of 5-star reviews. The choice is clear. Awaken180weightloss.com.
Okay. I'm monitoring any Red Sox news.
Spring there's got to be something.
This is
point.
About where we're getting close to the time where we get somebody saying something dumb down there.
A house filled with snakes.
I bet there's a lot of venomous snakes in the Fort Myers area, I would think.
Oh, yeah.
One
gotta be
imagine.
A hotbed for them.
Yeah, you would think.
Just ripe with snakes.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Gators, snakes.
All kinds of critters.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not to...
capybaras.
Break out into wild boar, things like this.
Yeah, I got
a lot of critters down there.
Uh-huh.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on the madness, or you can get back to talking Red Sox with us here. We will get back to the latest on the Red Sox. Tristan Casas, his comments beyond just Rafi Devers and Alex Bregman, also questioning when we're going to see the young guys, doesn't want to see the prospects
not
up
this
here.
Year.
We'll get to that next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.